And welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Oh, you gave me a nickname right away.
Yep, that's how this works now. Is this work in progress? You know, we'll see how it goes with the nicknames, because the true El Jefe is, of course, Dario Cueto. But for this podcast, I am the El Jefe, at least as we move along for tonight. But anyway, welcome to Lucha Lowdown. In this temple, we podcast about not just the best wrestling show on TV, but in my estimation, the best show on TV, period, Lucha Underground. So very excited to bring this to you. We're going to mix in some wrestling news and stuff like that as well as we go along, but this is going to be primarily dedicated to talking about Lucha Underground. As you will note, we are in a season break for Lucha Underground, but we wanted to get this off the ground as we prepare you for season 3, because it's not that far away. It is coming in early September, 40 episodes of season 3 of Lucha Underground. Very excited for that. But Jeff, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I'm enjoying my break in between seasons and also the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, the whole season break, I thought it was going to be a lot longer. But
that's what I'm so happy about.
But we found out just a couple of weeks ago that season 3 of Lucha Underground is going to be September 7th is season 3 of Lucha Underground. Again, 40 episodes. So we had this whole plan. I'll give you a little backstory of how Lucha Lowdown came about. We come from the Best Damn Nerd Show, if you are hearing us via those channels. And Jeff and I, we've been doing the Best Damn Nerd Show for almost 8 years now. And Jeff and I both love wrestling, and we both fell in love with Lucha Underground. So we wanted to do something just dedicated to Lucha Underground and professional wrestling. So Lucha Lowdown, the idea and name, born property of James Kincaid. I can't even say that with a straight face. Jeff came up with the name. So there you go.
That's canon. Now that you've said it on the air, as long as you don't edit this part out.
Well, you never know. But there
when
it is.
You're alone in your studio.
Just getting angry. We wanted to do something with Lucha Underground. And so we're trying to get the ball rolling and everything like that. Setting up a new channel, everything took more time than I thought. And before you know it, season 2 of Lucha Underground is at Ultima Lucha Dos. We were going to review, our plan was to review Ultima Lucha Dos, all 3 parts, and then go back during the hiatus, which was originally anticipated to be a lot longer, and review season 1 and season 2 almost episode by episode. And then they threw us the curveball that, hey, September 7th, season 3, 40 episodes. So that caused us to change our plans, I think for the better, because now we're able to just, we're going to kind of go through, talk about some of our favorite things from Lucha Underground, try and fill it with some interviews. We already have one to post to our channel with lovely ring announcer Melissa Santos. But, so we're gonna go along. We're going to supplement it with you know, like, again, talking about our favorite things from Lucha. Again, more interviews and stuff like that. And then before you know it, we'll be into the episode reviews. But I want to take some time to just introduce ourselves to any new listeners that we might have here at Lucha Lowdown. Again, I am James Kincaid. I am the host and Jedi Master of the Best Damn Nerd Show podcast. I've been doing that for almost 8 years now. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. I work for Cumulus Media up here. I do a lot of different producer work up here, and I am also on the Other Guys podcast, which is the podcast of the classic rock station 107.7 The Bone. So I keep busy. I wear a lot of different hats. I work for the Golden State Warriors. So if ever I am AWOL or missing, that is why. But Lucha Lowdown definitely is a top priority for me, because I love Lucha Underground so much. And it's something that I feel like it's very easier for us to sort of keep up on, because we know what we're going to talk about every week. And I love talking about it with Jeff. Jeff, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, thanks, James. I'm also a co-host of the Best Damn Nerd Show and have been since the beginning. My day
damn
job
right.
has... Excuse me?
I said you damn right you were.
Yeah, you damn right. Episode 1. I took my brief hiatus, you know, because of some undisclosed problems. But other than that, yeah, I'm a mainstay.
You were fighting in the Great Spice War.
Exactly. My day job is not entertainment related, so I won't really talk about it. It's kind of boring. I just want to say, you were talking about our mutual love of wrestling. That's exactly how you and I became such best buddies. I was at a college party. I drop a Kamala reference, Your panties were soaking.
That's right. That's right. They were. I forgot that it was a Kamala reference.
Nobody drops a Kamala reference. I'm just glad somebody understood what I was talking about.
That is true. That is true. Nobody makes Kamala references. And it was, yeah. So it was sort of it was a bromance at first sight with that. Talking about our love of wrestling, I'll just quickly run down. My favorite wrestlers outside of Lucha Underground, like what I grew up, who I grew up idolizing, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, my all-time favorite wrestler, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. I love Taz and I love ECW, which sort of brings it full circle to Lucha Underground because I definitely get that same vibe from the Temple and from Lucha Underground. And I love currently Cody Rhodes, who is heading to the Independents, hopefully Lucha Underground. Fingers crossed for that. That's going to be a topic on another episode, maybe wrestlers we'd like to see end up in the Temple with Lucha Underground. Cody Rhodes would definitely be at the top of my list. And I love Rey Mysterio.
I do not know, and I do not care.
And we love broken Matt Hardy. And Rey Mysterio, another favorite of mine. So for him to be in this season, Lucha Underground, or past season rather, was incredible. But Jeff, how about you? Who did you gravitate to?
Like you, raised on WWE primarily. Bret the Hitman Hart, The Excellence of Execution, is my all-time favorite. I also, of course, really liked Hulk Hogan. He was kind of he was my marijuana wrestler. He got me started, and then I moved on to the harder stuff. Rey Mysterio Jr. is always in my top five. The Rock. And I don't know who would be. Maybe Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man was kind of my top five. Was more my marijuana wrestler. He's my all-time favorite classic wrestler, along with Ric Flair. And it was one of those things where I guess that was the start of me sort of liking the secondary best guy on any given show is like Macho Man Randy Savage. It's like,
kind of like you on this podcast.
Oh, well, I do like you the
coming
most.
Out swinging.
I like you the most compared to me. So that would be consistent. But yeah, so we have that in common. So yeah, like you said, I'd forgotten about that our bromance really began with a Kamala reference. So, and
yeah, you know, 9 years go by and it just doesn't have the same fire that our relationship used.
That is incorrect. It's only gotten stronger. But it is funny that you say 9 years. We've been doing the Best Damn Nerd Show for almost as long as we've been friends, which is crazy. And then so that brings us to how we fell in love with Lucha Underground. And you mentioned how you were a predominantly WWF, WWE fan growing up. And, yeah, I was the same way. I mean, a mark for Titan Tower, love Vince McMahon and everything like that. So when Lucha Underground came on the scene, I was skeptical. You know, my roommate was watching it and was like, you know, I'm going to check out this Lucha Underground thing. I was like, you know, like, whatever. It sounds like something. I didn't even really get what was going on with it. And I sort of dismissed it out of hand, thinking that it would just be a flash in the pan kind of deal. And then as I sort of just by osmosis would be working in the living room and watching and be like, you know what? Like, I'm really enjoying this. This is every week it consistently, I felt better after watching it than when I would watch, not name other wrestling products, but you know, when I would watch other things, I was like, and other just TV shows in general, it's like, I was having more fun watching this. And before I knew it, and I compared this to, made this comparison the other day with a friend. It was like Clueless when Alicia Silverstone realized she was in love with Paul Rudd. I was like, holy crap, I'm totally butt crazy in love with Lucha Underground. And that's just how it happened. How about you, Jeff?
Well, you're the one who turned me on to Lucha Underground when I came and visited you. Unlike you, I definitely did watch Lucha Libre as a kid. My brother and I used to just watch the Spanish channel on weekends.
I did too.
Sometime. Yeah, I mean, and also my favorite matches with Rey Mysterio Jr. Was when he was in WCW in his prime. And, you know, they had a very talented pool of luchadors. They didn't always use them to their fullest abilities, but they had a great group. So his matches against like Eddie Guerrero and stuff were just outstanding. And I love that wrestling style. They're not necessarily always my favorite wrestlers in the company, but those are always my favorite matches to watch.
It's funny that you mentioned watching Lucha Libre, though, because that was my supplement, like, back in the day while I was waiting for whichever wrestling program, be it ECW or like, Sunday Night Heat or whatever, to come on. Like, I'd watch Lucha Libre, and it was always so much fun.
That's because the whole story is told just visually, so, like, you don't even have to worry about, like, the language gap, because I certainly don't speak Spanish, especially back then. But, I mean, it's just more fun. It's entertaining. You don't have to worry about a guy just standing in the ring and spouting off for 20 minutes, like, on other shows.
Indeed. You do not. And then the illustrious me turned you on to Lucha Underground. You're welcome.
You guys showed me, you and your roommate showed me, like, what, top 10 best moments?
Yeah.
Lucha Underground. That's really all you needed to do. I already watched the El Rey Network. All right, it plays Cobra and Van Damme and Seagal marathons. So I'm already a fan of the channel. So it really didn't take me long to get into watching Lucha Underground on my own.
And you made a good point there, because El Rey Network in general is just awesome. And it's such a fun network to watch all of their programming. So, and to have Lucha Underground as its kind of flagship show is perfect. So
I was going to say, it's kind of like how Spike TV was, years ago, when it really was just like this fledgling guy network and they just put on all sorts of like cool stuff. Yeah. I don't think Spike's exactly like that anymore.
No, not anymore. And I think El Rey went even more with it, over the top with it, which I love. So
it's over the top and fun, just like Lucha Underground.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of my favorite luchadors, Pentagon Jr. or Pentagon Dark, depending on what he's going to be calling himself moving forward, is my all-time favorite luchador in Lucha Underground right now. I am a Cerro Miedo head. You know, like, I mean, down to my keychain, my sweatshirt. Like, I try and buy as much Cerro Miedo apparel as possible. And so I'm a mark for Pentagon Jr. I've not been this hard of a mark for a wrestler since Shawn Michaels in his prime. So, and it feels good. You know, it makes me feel like a kid watching wrestling again, which I think is part of the charm of Lucha Underground, is that they it keeps you on your toes. So I love Pentagon Jr. Mil Muertes right there behind him, along with the Inferno of Hotness, Katrina. And love King Cuerno. And I love Drago, amongst others, but those are just the ones I'll name, and I'll let you take over your list.
Oh, terrific. I'm glad we don't actually have any overlap on this list, by the way.
Really?
This one. Yeah, I know. I'm a little surprised. I wrote down three, and I have one honorable mention to tack on at the end. First off, Johnny Mundo.
Yep.
That's a body that won't quit.
Yeah, love Johnny Mundo.
Also, you and I were both fans of him as John Morrison in WWE. I can't watch a Royal Rumble anymore without thinking about how he totally revolutionized it by going on the audience break fence and then jumping back into the ring. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I really enjoyed his character in the first season of Lucha Underground, where he was kind of just in it for the money. He was a very Johnny Cage,
absolutely
Mortal Kombat-esque character.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Johnny Mundo, I'm so happy to see all the success he's having in Lucha Underground, as sort of very much so a centerpiece performer for them, because he was so underutilized in WWE.
Oh, yeah, it was very frustrating.
Yeah, it was incredibly frustrating. So I love to see all the success he's having. Yeah, Johnny Mundo is great, but continue.
Second, I'm going to go ahead with our number one babyface of season one, Prince Puma. Another body that just won't quit.
That is true. So you're attracted to all the bods I'm seeing here, and I'm sensing your
wait,
third.
Wait until you get number three.
Number three. I have a feeling I know who number three or what number three is.
I talk about number three quite a bit. But yeah, with Prince Puma, he's your very classic luchador, which is what I love. I love his mask. I love his style. He's just a phenomenal talent in the ring. He's a lot of fun. And who they paired him up with at the end of season two, it was just – it all was coming together exactly how I would want it to in a storyline. So it was perfect as far as who he got to go against. And then, of course, number three is not a man, James. He's a machine. Cage. I'll tell you, one thing I love about Cage is, for a guy built the way he is, he does not move how I would expect him
to.
No,
he
is incredibly agile.
Well, I'll say that about most of the performers in Lucha Underground are very athletic guys, you know, despite their size, you know, and it's always great to see like when Cage will bust out some crazy acrobatic move or whatever, and he nails them too with perfection. Yeah. So I mean, there's my list and your list might not have overlap, but I mean, I think we both have an affinity for all of those guys on each of our lists.
I'm just glad that we got to mention all the different wrestlers. I know there's not a guy on my list that you don't love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, my honorable mention is just to Angelico, because
I had a feeling that was him too.
Champion.
I know
so
you
much,
will.
Yeah, you do. Well, you know, we've been buddies for a long time. I know you don't know exactly when and how we met, but
no, I remember that it was at a party. I just forgot there was a Kamala reference. Gee whiz. Never gonna let me live that down.
No.
Do you remember the day?
September.
The fact that you can even fake it is terrifying.
It used to creep you out with that.
Yeah, you did. You still do. All right. Well, so those are some of our favorite luchadors. I don't know if you have a favorite lucha up to this point. I do. And I mean, you could probably guess it, but it's not the most technically sound match in Lucha Underground history, but it was bloody and it was damn fun. And that is, of course, the Cerro Miedo match at Ultima Lucha Uno, I guess we're calling it, or One.
Yeah. No, Uno. Come on. Let's
try it. But yeah, that's my all-time favorite lucha up to this point. That to me was so much fun, and it told such a great story with Vampiro and Pentagon Jr. that I can't get enough of that match. I love rewatching it. But how about you?
That actually is my number three, only because of the payoff for how the storyline ended. And then also, I mean, I love Vampiro, but I did not expect that match to be a good match, and it just blew away all my expectations. It was phenomenal. It was a lot of fun to watch.
I didn't expect Vampiro to be Pentagon Jr.'s master.
Well, no, because he was super pissed at him, and it looked like Vampiro was going to dark places just to combat Pentagon Jr.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he was secretly training and manipulating him.
And that's kind of what I love about Lucha Underground, too, is that even a lifelong wrestling fan like myself and like yourself, it can still surprise us. Where a lot of the things like in WWE or TNA you can see coming, this stuff, they will do things that you do not expect legitimately. They will bring people back in spots that you do not expect. People will win. People will lose that you thought would go the other way according to sort of traditional wrestling booking. Like, just an example, a lot of times when a wrestler will debut in Lucha Underground, they'll lose, you know, which usually doesn't happen in mainstream pro wrestling. But they do it in such a way that it doesn't really hurt them. Like, they'll get their good spots and everything like that, but it's not hurting the other luchadors. They're not just the shiny new toy flavor of the month kind of deal, which I appreciate. And it keeps you on your toes. Other favorite luchas?
I put down a couple others. I kind of referenced one when I was talking about Prince Puma. It's Puma versus Mysterio at Ultima Lucha Dos. It's exactly what I would have wanted it to be. Rey Mysterio Jr., always one of my favorite wrestlers. Before this, I think one of my favorite matches of his was like from World War III with Ultimo Dragon, when it had the three wrestling rings next to each other. So, I mean, this is exactly how I was hoping the match would go. They're just both lightning fast and very talented. So it was nice that they at least got the opportunity to go against each other once in some sort of showcase match, depending on what happens with everybody's career after this.
Yeah.
And then the other one I put down... really more for the name than anything else, is Cage in a Cage.
I knew you were going to have that one. I knew it. I knew you'd come.
Well, it has two of my favorite guys in it, so how could I not? It was a cool match. That was a great rivalry, and I'm glad that it didn't take up the entire season because both those guys, I'm hoping, are going to move on to interesting storylines next year. But it was a lot of fun. It was a real culmination of everything that had been building up at that point. Both of them kind of screwing each other over at different points and just beating the crap out of one another. And the name sells it. Cage in a Cage.
Can't argue with that. And I mean, that was the name of the whole episode. So it was, yeah, that was a great one. I think, I mean, we'll go over more of our favorite matches as we sort of do our recaps.
I have another one, but it's like one of my favorite moments. So I'm keeping it as a moment as opposed to the whole match.
One of my favorite matches from this season, maybe my favorite match from this season though, the triple threat match between Mil Muertes, Pentagon Jr. and Prince Puma was awesome. The double super kicks to the head, the double flatliner. There's just so many great moments in that one. I really enjoyed that. As far as season two, that's probably my favorite match from this season. But overall thoughts on season two, Jeff?
I liked it. I don't think I can say I liked it as much as season one. I thought it started out strong. I loved how season one ended and this one began, where we were in a much darker place as far as the Aztec Temple. The bad guys were basically in control of everything, but Phoenix did have the, what is that title called?
The Gift of the Gods.
Yeah, he was the Gift of the Gods champion, so there was some hope. And also, you start having anti-heroes like Pentagon Jr. teaming up with Prince Puma. Like,
yeah.
We were talking about it. It was like Goku and Vegeta.
Yep, absolutely. That is, Pentagon definitely fills that Vegeta role in this. I agree with you in the extent of how season two started. like the vignette, like starting it with like Vampiro in the mental hospital was so freaking awesome and just so badass.
Keep forgetting that's how it started, and yeah. That is such a great beginning.
Yeah, it's awesome, and he looks just so like tweaked out of his mind, and just the way they shot it. That's one of my favorite vignettes. And then Matt Stryker's just chilling out there in the desert with his badass muscle car and everything like that. I love their friendship and everything like that. And that was such a cool way to start it. And like I went back and rewatched the first episode of season two a lot, especially the ending sequence, just because again, lifelong wrestling fan, not a lot can surprise me, or so I thought until Lucha Underground. I rewatched Pentagon Jr. coming out and attacking Mil Muertes as one of my all-time favorite Lucha Underground moments. And just the scene, the way they played it out, because Prince Puma made the save on Ivelisse, and he's, like, taking her back through the crowd. Then Pentagon attacks Mil Muertes, and it's this great moment that they sell with Pentagon Jr. in the ring, standing tall over Mil Muertes, which is a holy, holy hell moment in and of itself. And then you get Prince Puma just looking on so very, like, cautiously and so, like, bewildered that Pentagon Jr. did this. It was such an awesome way to end the first episode of Season 2. I think the highest compliment I can pay to Season 2 was that I thought it was seamless. I thought it picked up from Season 1 to Season 2 so perfectly, and that the match quality was there, if not better. The vignettes that happened in season two wouldn't have felt out of place in season one, you know, as long as the characters, you know, would have made sense in regards to that. So I think that they were better in a lot of areas too. I thought they minimized some of the characters that maybe didn't work in season one, and they added some new fun ones like Joey Ryan and Taya and stuff like that. So I think overall season two was just an absolute success. You know, I think maybe, you know, some of the booking decisions, you know, especially late in the season, you know, at Ultima Lucha Dos were questionable, but you know, you gotta keep in mind again and again, Melissa Santos said this in our interview with her, that it's not a wrestling promotion, it's a TV show, so they have to do certain things to set it up, and they did that. So I thought season two overall was amazing.
We'll see, and that's why I kind of would have liked, because it is just a TV show basically, Mil Muertes maybe ruling a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I also kind of wish he didn't have his arm broken by Pentagon Jr. when he did.
Yeah, it was a great moment when he ripped it out of the sling, though, and he was all right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then what was my other complaint? Oh, and then, of course, I wish Phoenix's reign had lasted longer.
You know, I kind of like that, though. It's like Phoenix and Mil Muertes, like Phoenix kind of cancels out Mil Muertes, but Mil Muertes destroys everybody else except for Matanza. But so I kind of like that whole dynamic that they have there.
I wish Phoenix didn't have to reclaim his title. I wish maybe he wasn't a part of the bigger match, and then instead Matanza had to take on Phoenix alone after he had destroyed everybody else and then just annihilated Phoenix.
Oh, okay. So you would have,
see what I mean?
So instead of Phoenix losing it in Aztec Warfare, it's just Matanza destroys everybody.
Phoenix basically had to go in again as a challenger, even though he had just won the week before. Because, I mean, he's technically champion, but he's not really champion, because you don't even have to beat Phoenix to become the champion. Yeah. So, yeah, if he kind of set that out and then even had fought Matanza like maybe a week later or something, and just let him have his own solo match, because instead he was just one of basically every hero you can think of being annihilated at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I would have liked to have seen Mil Muertes' reign of terror last a little bit longer. That is something that I would, and Katrina's, too, you know, because they were doing cool stuff running the temple. Although, I mean, ultimately, you know, Dario Cueto's got to come back, and I mean, he's such a fun character.
Well, and I don't want to complain about it too much, because one thing I did like, though, was the rival evil factions competing against each other, which was cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's this delicate line you have to walk, I suppose.
True. That is one of my all-time favorite moments from the series, too, is Katrina with her magic stone and Dario Cueto with the key just yelling at each other as, you know, Matanza and Mil Muertes had just destroyed one another. That was so good, and then just such a perfect way to end an episode. All right, but let's move along. Ultima Lucha Dos. What did you think of that overall? I mean, my initial impression, I'll just give this. I thought Dario Cueto stole the show in the first part. I did like the tournament for a unique opportunity. I thought it really showcased how much of a bastard he could be, and just the whole monkey paw wish kind of deal. It just, his facial expressions, his inflection, his delivery, so good. I did think part two of Ultima Lucha Dos was probably the best installment, because you had two absolutely fabulous matches. You had the Gift of the Gods championship match with a really cool feel-good moment for Sexy Star. And then you had the death match with Mil Muertes and King Cuerno, which was probably my favorite match from Ultima Lucha Dos as a whole. And then part three, very enjoyable, with one upsetting moment for me as a Pentagon Jr. fan when Pentagon Dark got beat by Matanza very abruptly, seemingly. And it was the first time that the believers in the temple seemed actually pissed, too. But they did save it by the end, as Lucha Underground often does. So with his whole attack on Vampiro, that was so brutal. What about you, Jeff? How'd you feel about it?
I thought the tournament for the unique opportunity was strange. And I mean, it really was kind of its own thing. I didn't feel it even needed to be a part of Ultima Lucha Dos. I felt it could have just been an episode. And then I don't really know how I felt about the payoff as far as how that tournament ended. I mean, I was glad that Son of Havoc wasn't going to get, be the, number one contender, but at the same time, I don't know. It was just like, what were we doing for the past 60 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, there were those issues raised with it. But again, I thought it was Dario's episode to shine.
He killed it. And then, I mean, kind of like what you said about part two. Yeah, there were no weak spots, which I think made it the strongest of the three episodes. My biggest complaint with part three would just be I was hoping that there would be more of a conclusion to Dragon Azteca Jr.'s story.
Yeah.
And instead, Pentagon Jr. just came in and said, nope, we're going to just continue this into season three.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, and that's the thing is that the third part, there were a lot of shenanigan finishes because they used part three to set up what's going to be so much of season three. And we're going to see a lot of ramifications from what happened in that third part. But speaking of season three, I want to go over this is going to be our sort of main course as far as before we get out of here tonight. I wanted to break down luchadors that we both think are poised for breakout seasons in season three. We'll go back and forth here. We each have five on our list. Mine, clocking at number five for me is Marty the Moth. And, he really went from a character I was skeptical about in season one to one of my favorite characters. I think he owns and lives that character so well. And I think we're going to see a lot more of him next season. We already saw an increase in his role in this season, and I think we're going to see even more. And how he creeps out Melissa Santos is hilarious. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from Marty the Moth. Who's your number five?
I was going to say Marty did not make my list, but that also means more Killshot, who I liked intensely more during season two than I did season one. So I'm all right with that. I actually have two guys splitting the five spot because they're sort of going to be embroiled together, at least for a little bit. And that is the returning Angelico and Johnny Mundo.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to the rivalry that is just beginning between these two. I think they have faced each other before, though, right? Back in season one?
I think that sounds right. I don't remember.
Yeah, I feel like they had a match together once. And I like both of their fighting styles and how they move. I'm just glad that Angelico's back. I'm hoping that sometime in season three, Mundo does get a title shot of some sort, other than the tag match or tag team championships again. I feel he's somebody who should be the champion at the near future.
I will tell you that Angelico is on my list at a later point in mine. My number four is King Cuerno, and had we been doing this from season one to season two, he would have been on my list then. He probably would have been at the top of it because I feel like he, I guess now for two seasons, is one of the more underutilized, and not that they don't use him, but I think they could do even more with him. So he's one of the more underutilized luchadors that they have. He consistently delivers in the ring. His character is badass. The way I like to look at him, he's like a Boba Fett type character. He's this bounty hunter that they have, which is super cool. He's got this badass persona to him. His moveset is sick. The arrow from the depths of hell is one of my favorite moves. And I think he took steps forward in this season, definitely in the early going when he became Gift of the Gods champion, even though he did lose it back. But, and then late in the season, he got a win over Mil Muertes, and then he had that badass match with Mil, which I don't think he suffered at all in defeat at Ultima Lucha. It was a great match, And I thought he still, you know, came out smelling like a rose. So I think we're going to see a lot more of him in season three, probably in a more, I mean, I guess, is he like a baby face now? It kind of seems like it.
No, I like him. I like him basically, as you said, Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I used to look at him as Kraven the Hunter, but his role at the beginning of season two as like this mercenary for the heels is exactly what I think he should be. I think who's ever in power should know that they could always get King Cuerno to take out some troublesome like up and comer, like a Phoenix. Phoenix was a big thorn in the side of Katrina Emil Mortez, and Cuerno already had a problem with him because of the Gift of the Gods match, I think, at the end of Ultima Lucha Uno. So yeah, it made sense that just set him after him, and I think that's what he's going to continue to be in the third season.
And who's your number four?
My number four is Dr. Wagner Jr. Actually,
wow,
and by extension, Famous B.
All right. I like that a lot. Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly he's got nowhere to go but up because he did debut at he debuted at Ultima Lucha Dose, so we're going to be getting a heavier dose of him. And
I feel when you debut at something like that, and then the way he debuted, I mean, he kicked ass.
Yeah.
And he took out Son of Havoc, who, I mean, much beloved.
Yeah. Big time fan
favorite. So I think that's a big statement win right there. And I'm expecting something from him this season. I think he's going to kick a lot of ass, and I just kind of like these wild card heels. You know, he has no allegiance to Dario or anything like that, and he's not like some evil undead creature that Katrina has resurrected. So you know, he's kind of just more in it for the money and for kicking ass in the tournaments. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fight more.
I like it. Not on my list. I didn't even think of him. That's a great pick. Again, we are continuing on with our top five luchadors to break out in season three. My number three is Sexy Star. Now, I already think she did break out in season two. The No Moss match with Mariposa was one of my favorites, and I actually think it's a landmark for mainstream women's wrestling because, I mean, the brutality and just the what they delivered told such a great story. That was one of my favorite moments from this season, and boy, it made a believer out of me, so I think she's going to continue with that. I mean, she finished out the season Gift of the Gods champion, so there's not really much room for her to go up from there, but I do think that she will because I think she's going to be – maybe she's going to be the first one that really defends the Gift of the Gods consistently because I don't see her being the one to unseat Matanza, but I do see Lucha Underground at some point maybe making her the first female to win a heavyweight title that's vied for by the men as well. So that's something to look forward to for Sexy Star. I think she's going to continue to go up and up.
First off, Sexy Star was my number one.
Wow.
Because she is Gift of the Gods champion. I'm expecting very big things from her in season three.
All right.
And basically, like you said, one thing that we talked about is that they don't really have that like mid-level belt, like that Intercontinental Championship belt. And the Gift of the Gods belt could be that. If they decide not to have them cash it in too quickly. I don't see how she could defeat Matanza. I don't really know who the hell is going to defeat Matanza at this point. He's pretty unstoppable. But I'm hoping that, yeah, she's very high profile and just continues to kick ass like she's been doing. And I do think, like you, she could end up being the first female champion as well. Just not yet.
Yep. Agreed. Who's your three, though?
My number three is Dragon Azteca Jr., because I am waiting to find out what happens with his story.
Yeah, he's on my list. He definitely coming up here shortly. But it's going to depend on a couple things, like how long are they going to kayfabe him with his injury from Pentagon Dark and things like that. Because, you know, I think, oh yeah, Dragon Azteca is like, oh man, he had the arm broken though. So how long is that going to sideline him? Is this going to, the fact that he and Black Lotus both were victims, is that going to somehow bring them together? So there's a lot of mileage from Dragon Azteca Jr. I'll talk a little bit more about that when he comes up on my list, because he is not my number two. Angelico is my number two, which you had earlier on, because I think a potential singles run for Angelico is looking like it might be likely with how he attacked Johnny Mundo at Ultima Lucha Dos. And him feuding with Johnny Mundo is only good things for him. Johnny Mundo is a huge star. And so for them to have a feud, if that comes to pass, that's going to be big time for him. So I'm looking forward to see what they do with that. He kind of invokes to me like Jeff Hardy appeal in his prime. So I think fans are really going to get behind an Angelico singles push.
My number two, which I guess isn't on your list, which I'm a little surprised, is Pentagon Jr.
Yeah, I mean, well, go on. Why is he on your list?
Because you are Pentagon everything.
I am.
From head to toe, usually. The reason it's Pentagon Jr. is because now he's on a rampage. And I don't know if he's going to, you know what?
What do you mean,
I wrote
Pentagon,
down Pentagon
Dark?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe I should have written down Pentagon Dark. But I'm looking forward to seeing him continue to ravage Vampiro for a little bit longer as he exercises those demons. And then, I mean, he's not done with Matanza yet. I think Pentagon Jr. or Pentagon Dark could still be the guy who unseats him. But I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for the Aztec temple.
Yeah, see, I didn't have Pentagon on my list because I think this was his breakout season, like big time. And he's established himself as that he's going to be in the main event scene. And so, you and I both thought, I was a little bit more fearful because I'm such a mark for Pentagon, but you thought that he was going to win the title. And I don't know, part of me feels like, when are they going to pull the trigger? If not then, but I do think he's going to be a champion, soon, but he just, as far as a luchador that hasn't really like broken out yet, like, cause Pentagon's a main eventer now. He feuded with Puma. He feuded with Mil Muertes. He's feuded with Matanza. Like, he is firmly established as one of their main event guys. So I don't really see him breaking out much. You know, he might win the title, but he already is established as he's the most popular guy they have, or at least one of.
One of, at least. Yeah, I'll tell you what I want. I want him to eventually become the champion, and then I want Sexy Star to have a feud with him and perhaps unseat him.
Yeah, I would be fine with that, too. But yeah, so that's why I didn't have him on my list, because I think he has already broken out and is just very established in Lucha Underground. My number one, no spoilers now, Dragon Azteca Jr. His storyline's already, the thing about him is his storyline, it's a linchpin for what's really going on behind the scenes in the temple, too. So that's something that I think we're going to get more explored with him and Black Lotus. He's already under Rey Mysterio's tutelage, which already, makes him very important. He's incredible to watch in the ring.
Nobody's faster.
Yeah, he's
lightning.
He is incredible to watch. And I don't read any spoilers from what's already been taped with Lucha or anything like that. And I try and avoid most rumors, but I did see a nasty rumor that perhaps Prince Puma will not be around beyond season 3. If that is the case, and even if Prince Puma sticks around, because of Dragon Azteca's storyline, he's sort of ready-made to be the face of the company because of who he is and the lineage of the mask and everything like that, what they've done storyline-wise. He's very much so kind of like that Liu Kang-type character.
What if Matanza kills Rey Mysterio Jr. and Dragon Azteca Jr. is the one who has to unseat him?
I think that would be perfect. And I don't think it's perfect because I want to see Rey Mysterio go. But I think for storytelling purposes, they kill wrestlers in this show, and there'd be no more meaningful death than if Rey Mysterio sacrificed himself. I was actually kind of worried that might happen at Ultima Lucha. So I think that's definitely a possibility because Rey's not young anymore. He can still clearly go, as evidenced by his match with Prince Puma. But I do think that, he's slowing down. So, at least of his own decision too. So I could see that happening.
He's propping up the other guys. He's doing exactly what I would want him to do. He's a class act. But yeah, he still has the skills to be there. It's not embarrassing or anything like some of our other aged wrestlers.
Yeah, not at all. So, but I expect very, very big things from this season and beyond with Dragon Azteca Jr. Who's your number one, Jeff?
I already said it. It was Sexy Star.
Oh, that's right. Sexy Star is your number one, which is a great pick for number one, too, because I do expect very huge things from her.
I think season 3 is just going to be enormous for her.
Yeah. Honorable mention I had was Ivelisse, because I think her feuding with Katrina could lead to some really cool stuff in the early going of season 3. And just overall, I think we're going to see more matches from her. I love Ivelisse. She's so much fun to watch. And her with, I hope she gets the band back together with Son of Havoc and Angelico at some point, perhaps to face like a Katrina, Mil Muertes, and Sinestro de la Muerte team,
Sinestro.
To maybe blow off that feud, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see what Katrina does as far as how many matches she's going to actually be in. I hope they still keep her more with Mil Muertes, though, in his corner as well as having matches, because they're such a great pairing. And, I think the art of being a manager is something that's kind of lost in mainstream wrestling outside of Lucha Underground. So it's definitely good to see. So there you have it. Jeff and I's top five breakout luchadors for season 3. And that is going to do it for our inaugural edition of Lucha Lowdown. We're going to be coming to you every week with different little, you know, sort of segments to get you ready for season three. Again, and when we can get the interviews going with the talent of Lucha Underground, we will bring those to you. But thank you for being with us on this ride. Very excited to be talking Lucha Underground every week with you and hopefully getting your feedback from the believers. If you want to get at us on Twitter at Lucha Lowdown, Instagram at Lucha Lowdown, Facebook, find us Lucha Lowdown. Email us luchalowdown@gmail.com. If you want any suggestions, any questions, anything like that, you want to chime in, get at us on social media or email us. We'd love to hear from you. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. This is Lucha Lowdown. Good night, everybody.